Welcome back to the second hour of the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. You can also get us anywhere you get your favorite podcast. Just search the Rob O'Donnell Show. We upload between 3 and 5 podcasts a day. The three-hour show is broken up into smaller segments, so you can get little pieces, bits and pieces of it to fit in with your day a little better there. Thanks for joining us on this Monday, August 11th, 2025. 89 degrees outside, a beautiful day. It was just a gorgeous weekend. Hopefully you spent some time with your loved ones. That's exactly what I did. Took the missus. I apologize for not being here on Friday, but I really haven't been away this summer. So we decided to take a long weekend. Thursday, right after the show, we headed up to Saratoga Springs, New York. It was a beautiful ride up. Spent Friday at Saratoga Springs, the oldest racetrack in America. It is just a gorgeous, and you don't have to be in, I'm not into horse racing. I know very little about horse racing. Matter of fact, I had to look up the night before on the different bets to make some sense of them, because trifectas and exactas and boxing are straight, and there's a whole bunch of things that the 2-4-6, who knows? And it just, I do it for fun. And that's all it was. I did hit two trifectas, though. I hit a box trifecta and I hit a straight trifecta. But, my bets aren't very big, so it wasn't a game changer. But it was a fun day. It's really the atmosphere there is outstanding. They have bands playing outside from old-style Dixie bands to, more modern bands. And it's just a nice time there. And to see the dynamics of horse racing between the trainers, the owners, the different owners, the jockeys, who the jockeys are and how they're hired by most of the time the trainers who recommend to the owners who they want to ride their horses. And it's just the whole dynamic's a nice day. And you stand outside and watch the paddock where they bring the horses around before they're geared up for their race. It's just a nice day. So we spent Friday there and then spent Saturday on Lake George, had a great late lunch right on the lake, and it was just another nice day. Got a little sun. It was the first time I got sun this summer, so the middle of August, first time I'm getting sun, that's telling you something. And then Sunday, back home, and a great time with great friends up in Saratoga. Really nice place to go visit during track season, during racing season, which ends Labor Day. So if you're looking to go up there just to spend some time and look around, right after Labor Day is a perfect time. It's hard to get hotels in the area during track season. During the week, not too bad, but on weekends, it's pretty packed out. But there were, people there like Bill Parcells, who lives in Saratoga Springs. We saw, who else was there? The guy from the sports show. I'll think of it in a second. He's another quarterback that does one of the sports shows, was walking into the bagel shop. And then Dave Portnoy from Barstool is always there. He's got a house in Saratoga Springs. So it's just a nice time. If you're looking for a nice weekend getaway or a midweek getaway, it's perfect. They got some wineries up there, real nice place to be. So check it out if you've never been up there. So this little-known synthetic opioid is up to 43, and I don't even know how this is possible, but it's up to 43 times more deadly than fentanyl. And it's resistant to Narcan. And it's killing young Americans. And it's something we need to be made aware of. Something this deadly is going to cause havoc. A pair of Texas friends died less than 3 months apart after ingesting pills laced with a dangerous new synthetic opioid. And now their mothers are begging U.S. officials to sound the alarm on this little-known drug that, is up to 43 times more lethal than fentanyl. It's just mind-boggling that that's the case. The young men both died this year after swallowing different pills secretly tainted with the deadly, often Narcan-resistant opioid known as nitazenes, which have begun seeping into U.S. at an alarming rate. 22-year-old young man died January 26th near Houston, Texas, after taking a pill labeled as Xanax that was actually laced with this synthetic opioid. The particular strain of the new synthetic narcotic that killed him is 25 more times like lethal than fentanyl. It's a derivative of the original. But other Nitazenes are between 5 and 43 times stronger, depending on what type, according to the Inter-American Drug Abuse Control Commission. The stronger the strain, the more resistant it is to overdose antidote, Narcan, as seen in this case where they did deploy Narcan and it did not help. It was the first time I've ever heard of it, says the heartbroken mother who told the Post. It took them 7 rounds of Narcan to try and revive him. 7 hits of Narcan did nothing, and he never came to. Nearly 6 months after his death, Gray received a call from another mother in the area who revealed that her son also died of the same drug. And it was the friend of the former victim. Died on April 10th after taking the laced pill branded to look like Percocet. A few weeks after his death, his mother came across a news article about the dangers of these types of drugs. I told my husband, I feel like that we could feel like that could be what Hunter died from. It's the one of the child's names, a young man. It's produced in clandestine Chinese labs, go figure, and may have made their way to the cartels in Mexico using existing relationships while suppliers in China, according to the Drug Enforcement Administration. The drug was developed over 60 years ago as an alternative to morphine, but was never approved for medical use because of its high risk of overdose. Authorities in Europe have already seen several overdoses from this synthetic narcotic, and devastating poison is now starting to hit U.S. shores more. Last January, a Florida man confessed to distributing the drug that he received in the mail from labs in China, according to the IRS. Customs officials at Kennedy Airport are seeing the drug coming through the airport at least a few times a week in quantities ranging from just a few grams to upward of a pound or more. Assistant Port Director of Cargo Operations said at the airport. What you're not seeing here is the border. And could you imagine if we had the free-for-all at the border now that this drug is hitting our streets since January? What the devastation would look like? It's all part of China's ongoing attack against America, former acting DEA Administrator Derek Maltz told reporters. As America is just now really starting to talk about fentanyl, we have now seen these other substances that are popping up everywhere, and they're coming into these labs, coming from these labs in China. Medical examiners in Houston and the surrounding Harris County have already seen 4 cases of this synthetic opioid overdose-related deaths, according to Harris County Institute of Forensic Science. The mother of the victim fought tears as she recalled finding her son the fateful night with his face down in his bed, his body cold and purple. She quickly started giving him chest compressions, 2 doses of Narcan, but it wasn't enough to save him. Sometimes I get mad because I couldn't save my own son, but I do want to save other people, even if it's just one person, in honor of him, the mother told reporters. Traditional drug tests don't look for this type of synthetic opioid, since U.S. authorities are just now learning of its existence. They're not on standard toxicology tests used by the Harris County Medical Examiner. So if you die from this type of drug, they'll have to test further to even determine it was the cause of death. If there's suspected synthetic opioid use and there's no other toxicology to explain the death, then by reasons of omission, they come to the cause of death. They could think this is clean and rather safe when it's actually pressed into something that is 20 or 40 times stronger, more than deadly fentanyl. The issue with things here, when you look into these cases, one purported to be a Xanax pill, one purported to be a Percocet pill, these are conversations because these are the type of things that young Americans are looking for, are purchasing out in the black market, out on the street, out in the illicit drug sale. It's not, well, heroin, cocaine, marijuana. Those things are out there. But these are the drugs of choice in most of the communities that we have. And you have to have these conversations with your children. Do you have Narcan available to you if something happens? Especially if you have teens, and I'm not saying it could be your children, but you don't want your child to become victim to it. And it just takes, what if they handled it and says, "Not what if it was put in their hand? Hey, look at this." And it dropped in their hand. And they turned and said, "No, this isn't for me. You know, I'm not taking a Percocet or Xanax. Here, take it back." And later on, for some reason, you know, they got that, what was in their hand, and the residue in their mouth. 47 more times than fentanyl. It doesn't take someone intentionally looking for this, but you do want to have the means to deal with it. And again, something like this, they said Narcan's not even effective, but it is something better than nothing. So have the conversation with your children. Make them aware of that these are the dangers that are out there. Specifically, tell them, hey, Xanax, Percocet, all these pills that you may or may not have hear your friends talk about or take or not take or just discuss or see in the news. Just know that these things are out there and they're fake most of the time, and they have this stuff in them that could kill you. Think of me when that choice crosses your mind, when you, that choice presents itself in front of you. And I ask you, don't do it, because I love you too much and I don't want to lose you. Have that conversation. You'd be surprised at that moment how that flashes between their ears and they hear that. Maybe not work all the time, but if it only works 1% of the time, don't you want your kid to be that 1%? I would. I had those conversations, and you should too, because these dangers are out there. And they're not going away. They've never gone away. We manage them. We do better at times than others. But this stuff is just downright scary. It's coming up on 4:23 here at WILK. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. How's everyone doing today? So, one of the stories I saw is Christy Noem is talking about South Park. Says South Park was petty for making fun of her appearance. She said only liberals and extremists do that. Listen. Christy Noem, and I like Christy Noem. I think she's doing a great job. She needed to leave this one alone. I think J.D. Vance, Vice President Vance, had the greatest response to South Park. And listen, you got to take South Park for what it is. South Park is South Park. You embrace it, and you laugh at it, and you move on. There is no doubt now that South Park will feature Christy Noem again, which they're probably going to do anyway, but you kind of guaranteed it here. It again, it's South Park, and like them or dislike them, listen, it is what it is. They're South Park. I think J.D. Vance had the greatest where he took the picture that they had of him, and he said, "I finally made it. Listen, I'm featured on South Park," and that's what I think Christy Noem needed to embrace with her take on South Park. You're not going to get anywhere with the creators of South Park. You're not going to win anybody over one way or another. You have two options when it comes to dealing with things like this. And listen, it's the same thing with trolls or people who just will always dislike you or hate you, or people whose job it is to make fun of people. And that's what South Park's job is. And they've been pretty much across the board. They've done it with a lot of different people, and I don't think it's one way or another, regardless of their personal politics. But to give it oxygen, to even comment on it, to let it out that it bothered you. You not only open the gates for them, but anyone else. And you just have to realize, listen, you're in the public spotlight. You're someone, a target of the people who don't like what you talk about, what you stand for, the job you do, whatever it is. And we've seen that. And there's lots of them, because the point is they don't have their own lives. So they just do their own thing. And their thing is to create as much nonsense as they can because it gives them a sense of being. But South Park is South Park. I mean, come on. Here's the group that made fun of Santa Claus. They made talking poop for Christmas. You got to take them for what they are. So, you know, I defend Christy Noem and what she does a lot. And as far as the morale boost that she's been trying to fit in with the people that are under her, I get what she's trying to do because they have been abused. They have been listen, you had the President of the United States call them names and make up things that they were whipping migrants. And, you know, to have someone who actually supports their job and does what they do and actually goes out on the street and sees what they do firsthand, first of all, and defends it and wants to be with them, you got to respect that. And anyone who's ever done those jobs, you know, only if you've done them, you know what I'm talking about. And regardless of the job you do anywhere, you know, if the person that owns the company comes down and makes it a point to see your day and be part of your day and do what you do and try to understand you and how you're doing and really mean it, that means a lot regardless of what kind of employment you do. So, again, the whole thing with South Park, hey, you're South Park. And there's plenty of other things to worry about than how South Park is depicting you. And, you know, if it's petty or not, it's comedy. And, you know, they're going to do that. It's 4:31 here at WILK. It's time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's the point of the show where we honor our heroes here at home who made the ultimate sacrifice in law enforcement. On this day, we have a few here from the Commonwealth. On this day, August 11th throughout history, we're going to start off with Police Officer Robert Allen Lasso, Freemansburg Borough Police Department in Pennsylvania. On this day in 2011, was shot and killed while responding to a disturbance call at a home in Washington Street at about 5:15 p.m. During the call, he was attacked by two dogs that lived at a home on New Street, directly behind the home where the complaint originated from. He was attempting to use his taser to subdue the dogs when their owner appeared and shot him without warning. Officer Lasso suffered a shotgun blast to the face. He was transported to a local hospital where he died a short time later. The Freemansburg Borough Police Chief witnessed the shooting and immediately took the suspect into custody. The man was subsequently charged with criminal homicide and found guilty of first-degree murder, and he was sentenced to death on May 24th of 2012. We have Chief of Police William Armin Tyler, Edinburgh Borough Police Department in Pennsylvania, on this day in 1947, succumbed to injuries received in an automobile accident while attempting to stop a speeding vehicle. Chief Tyler was sitting in the patrol car when he observed a car run a stop sign in Mill Street and Meadville Street. He blew his whistle in an attempt to stop the car, but the driver did not stop. He gave pursuit on Route 99. His patrol car struck a bridge wall near Lewin's Corner. He was taken to St. Vincent's Hospital, where he succumbed to his injuries the following day. And Police Officer Vincent J. Moore, Philadelphia Police Department, 1916. Succumbed to injuries sustained in an automobile accident while transporting an injured boy to a hospital. The accident occurred at the intersection of Gerard Street and Broad Street. He had served with the Philadelphia Police Department for less than 3.5 years. And those are three from here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania that made the ultimate sacrifice on this day. I did get a text message from our friends over at Springbrook Volunteer Fire Department. This Thursday, Friday, and Saturday is the Springbrook Fire Department Company's great annual cow flop. Come by and support your local fire company. Great food, games, trays it, of course, the cow pie bingo. And if you've ever been to Springbrook Fire Department cow flop, it is fun. I've been there. My parents lived in Madisonville, and we used to go there often when we came up before I even lived here. And still today, I'm hopefully can make it to one of the days this week myself. But if you can't, go support the Springbrook Fire Company. They do a lot of work over there. Great guys and gals. So check them out over there. Other text message I got in, the D.C. Police Union has officially backed the Trump takeover. I could have told you that this morning. I was speaking to them. And somebody else texted in, actually the same person texted in, that a D.C. police commander is on leave and under investigation for covering up crime stats. So when you ask yourself, well, why the intervention, we'll see. Somebody checked in. South Park has been around 20-something years. It's got to be longer than that. 20-something years and the funniest cartoon show ever. Check out the last few episodes with Trump and the big devil in bed. Now, that's funny. Nothing is sacred with those guys. As it should be. It's comedy. It's supposed to be fun. And I don't really care who they pick on. So, I think drawing attention to it. I think J.D. Vance's response was the best. He reposted it and said, I finally made it. That's how you deal with South Park. That's how you embrace being made fun of by South Park. So, like I said, they made a Christmas special about talking poop. So where else are you going to go from there? It's 4:41 here at WILK. Time for 2020 traffic and weather together.
Thanks, Rob. This Pentella Data Internet traffic update is brought to you by Grizz's Landscaping. A couple of things that I just wanted to gloss over. 81 northbound, complete nightmare right now. Not even close to worth getting on, especially if you're anywhere from the DuPont area all the way up through Scranton. First off, there seems to be some sort of accident. I'm not sure if it has anything to do with the earlier tractor trailer that couldn't get off out of the right lane, but regardless, there's some sort of disturbance and it is causing standstill traffic from DuPont all the way back to Laughlin. Moving down the highway into Lackawanna County, north and southbound, both dealing with rush hour volumes that are quite heavy, especially for this time of day. It is affecting from the airport all the way to River Street. Again, that's 81 North and southbound. And finally, speaking of 81 northbound, the on-ramp is closed. If you're heading down from Bear Creek on 115, you will be unable to access that 81 northbound on-ramp as it will be closed until November of 2026. The detour will have you take the Cross Valley Expressway and continue on. You'll have to get off at exit 2 to turn yourself around. Besides that, no other traffic problems to report right now. If you see a traffic problem, feel free to call us on the Jam Line, 570-883-7269. I'm EJ Samuel in the WILK Traffic Center with this Pentella Data Internet traffic update.
Thank you, EJ. Here's the Storm Tracker 16 forecast. Tonight, clear skies, a low of 65. Tomorrow, Tuesday, sunny, a high of 88. Wednesday, cloudy with afternoon showers and thunderstorms, likely high of 88 again. It is currently 89 degrees here at 443 at your official weather station, WILK. Gotta love a little Asia there, right? Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. 4:48 here, 89 degrees on this Monday, August 11th, 2025. See, we're getting through Monday just fine. We'll be almost done with it. But it's time for Today in History, because how do we know where we're going unless we remember where we've been? Let's see what kind of notable events we have on in U.S. history on this August 11th, 1866. 1866, I wouldn't have guessed this on a month of Sundays. 1866, the first U.S. roller skating rink opens. The world's first roller skating rink in the United States opened in the dining room of the Atlantic House Resort in Newport, Rhode Island. 1866, wow. 1877, labor unrest and the Great Railroad Strike. Well, not a single event. 1877 marked widespread labor upheaval, including violence in Chicago, a scene even captured and featured newspaper illustration. 1909, the first American SOS distress signal. The steamship SS Arepo became the first American vessel to send out SOS distress signal off of Cape Hatteras, North Carolina. transitioning from the older CQD standard. 1929, Babe Ruth's 500th home run. Baseball legend Babe Ruth became the first major league player to hit 500 career home runs, achieving the milestone in League Park in Cleveland, Ohio. 1934, the first federal prisoners arrive at Alcatraz. On this day, Alcatraz Federal Penitentiary officially began housing the first civilian inmates, establishing its reputation as the country's most secure prison. 1942, patent for frequency hopping technology. Actress Hedy Lamarr and composer George Antheil received a patent for frequency hopping spread spectrum communication system. This groundbreaking innovation later became the foundation for technologies like wireless telephone and Wi-Fi. In 1942, that was patented. 2008, the U.S. wins Olympic gold and sets a world record. The U.S. 4x100-meter freestyle relay team featuring Michael Phelps, Garrett Weber-Gale, Colin Jones, and Jason Lezak claimed gold in the Beijing Olympics. They delivered a dramatic final 50-meter comeback to edge out France and set the world record that remains unbroken to this day. And that's a look at today in U.S. history. I also did look up South Park. The first episode of South Park debuted on August 13th of 1997. So in 2 days, we'll celebrate that anniversary. So 28 years old. 28 years ago, 2 days from today, the first South Park aired on Comedy Central with a run of 6 episodes. Due to its success, an additional 7 episodes were quickly produced. Complete season was released on DVD in November of 2002. The first season was a rating success for Comedy Central. So far, I believe 330 episodes of South Park had been broadcasted. It's a good run, 28 years, still as funny as ever. It's 5:52 here at WILK. We'll be back with the Rob O'Donnell Show. But not before we have NEPA premium perks. Enjoy this half-off deal for Delagrosso's Park at Laguna Splash. Get the rest of that summer in. Get an all-day fun pass for just $19. That's half off. Your ticket gives you access to 30 park rides and the water park, which includes a lazy river, wave pool, and more. Home of the family fun and famous food, try Murph's Kitchen, known for sandwiches and sides, Pappy Fred's Pizzeria, the original park pizza, plus sweet treats, wings, and ice cream. Located at 4352 East Pleasant Valley Boulevard in Tipton, visit getmyperks.com for all the details. We're back with the Rob O'Donnell Show coming up on the 5 o'clock hour here. Hopefully your day is almost done. If not done already, 89 degrees outside. It's going to be a nice evening. So do something, right? Make the best of it. Your time is yours now, not the man's or woman's, depending on who you work for. Spend some time for yourself. So big tech workers, they're finding, are the top donors. And now this is just the workers for Mamdani, the New York socialist mayoral candidate, and his campaign, which is a headache for Google and Meta. Big tech workers, including from Google, Meta, were among the biggest group of donors to Zoran Mamdani's mayoral campaign, creating a fresh headache for companies in the Big Apple that could feel the brunt of the self-proclaimed Democrat socialist policies. The 33-year-old upstart has spooked New York business and tech leaders, many of whom fear that his vow to raise taxes on wealthy and pass calls to defund the police will spark a mass exodus similar to what San Francisco experienced under progressive leadership in recent years. However, underlings have thrown their financial support behind the front runner at City Hall, Rank-and-file Google employees donated nearly $40,000 to Mamdani's campaign through July 11th, more than any other company or institution, according to New York campaign financial data. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Meta workers chipped in more than $10,500, ranking seventh on the list, followed by Amazon employees who donated nearly $9,000. Well, these are the people that are actually buying his crap that he's actually going to be able to do anything he says he's going to do, and they're false promises and lies because those policies aren't workable. Now here, of course, you get campaign funds also flowed in from employees at New York City's mainstays like tech and media firm Bloomberg, Spotify, Block, Squarespace, and MongoDB, the data showed. But then you have your mainstays in New York City. And again, they are funding to defund themselves, these entities. Outside of the tech sector, Mamdani received significant support from workers at New York-based colleges and city agencies. The Columbia University system ranked second overall with $33,000 in donations. Go figure. Followed by the New York City Department of Education at $26,214 and the New York University system, $24,331. And the CUNY system, City University of New York, otherwise known, $18,336, the data shows. It's interesting because these employees of these educational institutions, especially the New York City Department of Education, where when it comes to healthcare, they're not paying a dime. The taxpayer is footing their bill for their healthcare. Well, what happens when all New York City employees have basically the single plan? And it's going to be interesting when their Cadillac plans get reduced to HMOs because that's all they will afford. It's interesting because as a former employee of New York City, a lot of the choices of the healthcare systems apply to all of us, teachers, police, fire, sanitation, corrections, all the city employees. Now, when I was single, first became a police officer, I was on the lowest cost HMO because I didn't go to the doctor much. You know, I was 20-something years old. What do I need medical care for? It's going to be interesting when they get stuck with it. It's time for the 5 o'clock hour.